Thank you very much. I'm just looking around the room for any more interventions on section four. I don't see any, so I think we can conclude that. And thank you very much for those interventions. Thank you for the detail you've gone into, and the spirit of the discussion, which I hope we can now bring to the next section. So we'll go back to the opening the chapeau of Part B and Section 3. And this operative, the overall operative part of the text is setting out the high-level political commitments in the Declaration. And the chapeau is intended to establish a clear and active sense of intent, of intention, framed by the verb "we will." And it describes the purpose of the commitments undertaken as being intended to strengthen compliance with IHL and the protection of civilians, and to address the humanitarian consequences arising from the use of explosive weapons in populated areas. So the revised version of the chapeau also now broadens the scope to more accurately reflect that we are committed to strengthening the protection of civilians during and after armed conflict. On the substantive part of Section 3, paragraphs 3.1 and 3.2 have very few changes on the last draft. These parts call for states to review, implement, and where necessary, develop or improve national policies and practices with regard to the protection of civilians in armed conflict. The existing language and comprehensive training for armed forces and international humanitarian law remains unchanged. And that brings us then to Section 3.3, and it is obviously one of the paragraphs on which we have received and are receiving the most comments during the written and the virtual consultations, and again yesterday and even today. For many delegations, this paragraph involves one of the key commitments in the political declaration. So I think it's worth reflecting on it just a little bit before we open up the discussion, we open up the floor. As it's currently formulated in this draft, paragraph 3.3 calls for the adoption and implementation of a range of policies and practices to avoid civilian harm, including by restricting or refraining from the use of explosive weapons when the effects may be expected to extend beyond a military objective. And it also adds that this commitment should be done fully in accordance with international humanitarian law. Now, this paragraph generates the most discussion, and I think we should be very clear that it is very important to read it in association with the chapeau of this section, as it is not the intention of this paragraph, as we keep stating, but I think it's important to restate it. It's not the intention of this paragraph to create a new legal standard, but to reinforce our shared commitment to implementing in full our obligations under international humanitarian law and our shared goal of improving the protection of civilians during armed conflict. And while the interpretations may vary on how best to do this, I think it's important to send a strong political signal that we, the international community, are determined to address the humanitarian issues that arise from the use of IWIPA. So the revised paragraph 3.3 maintains the original language to, quote, avoid civilian harm, but it adds the words or refrain after restrict to the range of policies and practices to achieve this. And this language, we've included this language in order to capture the views that were expressed by a number of delegations that a one-size-fits-all would not be appropriate to adequately address this issue. And we are very keen to hear your views on this and on the other edits that have been made, and possible, and also we'd be very keen to hear possible proposals to bridge the gap in positions. Then paragraph 3.4 covers the planning of attacks and the need for armed forces to ensure that they take into account the direct and reverberating effects on civilians and civilian objects. The paragraph now includes additional language on conducting battle damage assessments to the degree feasible to identify lessons learned. Paragraphs 3.5 and 3.6 remain unchanged, They include references to the marking, clearance and removal or destruction of ERW in accordance with relevant obligations under applicable international law. 3.6 includes a reference to non-state armed groups and reinforces one of the central messages of this text, that all parties to armed conflict must respect and implement international humanitarian law. So with that introduction to this section, which I know you have all studied in great detail, I'm going to open up the floor for comments and proposals on this section of the text. So when I say comments and proposals, it will be very helpful if you have any ideas on how to bridge the gaps that we have identified, but also we want to hear your clear positions also. So I'm going to open the floor, and the first speaker on the list is Turkey. Turkey, you have the floor.